Welcome to another edition of the Puro Pinche Primos.
Hola, primo and primas. We are back. We are the Puro Pinche Primos. I'm your primo, Luis Velasquez. That's your primo, Christopher Costello. And welcome to the post-draft analysis of the one and only, you know, your team, our team, the Tennessee Titans. How are you feeling, primo?
I was really hyped. I think, as we all know, the bane of our existence right now is the San Diego. Sorry.
Every time. All the time. Yeah.
The Los Angeles Chargers, now under the helm of Jim Harbaugh. Is it Jim Harbaugh?
John.
Yes.
Jim.
John.
John.
Jim. Okay. One of the Harbaugh brothers. It is Jim. And it doesn't matter. You're right. Because they took Joe Alt, which completely threw off the board. And I think for me, going into it, I'm a little underwhelmed, particularly by our late round picks. And so I'm a little kind of concerned about the decision making that went on, particularly watching Ron Carthon and
Rand.
And new coach Rand. Callahan. Rand. Why did I call him Ron? Name's Rand?
Rand.
Rand and Coach Callahan together looking like they're all smiles, which I think they were forced, but I'm a little worried about where we picked. Where did you end up in the overall draft group that we have?
I think, again, when you sit back and the first initial like analysis after each pick was like, what the fuck? Oh. To me, it screamed like
that was your reaction to everything.
Yeah, every single.
So I think, you know, I think I felt that a little bit. I was not as concerned with the Latham pick. I felt like the Latham pick in the first round was like, all right. But like we talked about before, and what you had mentioned, like, is Joe Alt and then everybody else.
Yeah.
And so to not get that guy. Again, I've been saying it all along, I'm a wide receiver guy. So my immediate thought was like, Joel's gone, go get a wide receiver.
Right.
Right. And obviously we did not do that. And yet I'm still not mad at picking offensive tackle that is going to start in and go in the year. So
yeah.
I'm not really too mad at the pick, but I also just, again, underwhelmed.
Here's the thing. I had Latham going late in the first round. I think on my mock draft, I had him actually going to the Cowboys. With the 26th pick or whatever time at, and the only reason is that he was a right tackle, right?
Yes.
And you just
and
grade
the left tackle.
Yeah, you grade those differently, right? Left tackles are way more important than right tackles, especially when you have a right-handed quarterback. So when you look at overall all the tackles and put out. And take away left tackle, right tackle. Like Latham is probably, I would say he's right there with Fashion, who got drafted by the Jets. You know, you go 2A, 2B. When you just take tackle, right, and not left and right. Now they said they're gonna move him to the left. And shout out, we talked about Callahan, the offensive line coach, of being one of the best offensive line coaches in the league right now, and apparently to some sources, like Latham was his top tackle, even over Joe Alt, right? And so what I did was like, all right, let me look at this through a different lens. Let me look at his film again, and I can see. Here's what I would say: you know where you're getting a Joe Alt, right? He's a plug and play. Uh-huh. You put him in there right now, you're not gonna have any problems down there. He's going to win you a couple of Pro Bowls. There's a good chance he can be a Hall of Famer. You're just not. Now, with Latham, I think he has a ceiling that he can be better than Joe Alt, right? There is definitely, his ceiling to me is higher than Joe Alt because he's longer. He's stronger. He's got better feet.
But his floor is lower also.
Right. His floor. Right.
Like you know that Joe Alt's going to give you at least this
right.
place. And Latham if he's not coached right. But
we've got Bill Callahan.
Better coaches, right?
So that's why exactly. I'm not after, like, again, it was when we drafted him was a what the fuck moment because I'm with you. Roma Dunze was available. To me, it seemed like a panic pick. We didn't have, like, all right, Joe Ault was gone. What's our plan B? Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Malik Nabers is gone. What? Oh, we weren't planning on having a plan C, right? And so, to me, you either go Dunze there or you trade back.
Yeah.
Because you could have gotten Latham with anywhere between 10 to 20, to me, I think. And we didn't have a third round pick. I really wanted us to get a third round pick at some point during this draft. And I think if you would have just switched with somebody, and just say, add a third round pick, and then we're good.
So
we could still got Latham.
Back to your point about a plan C, right? Like the fact that both Ault and Nabers were off the board. Do you think that maybe they went into the draft not even like listening to trade options or having like possibilities to like trade back? And then they get to that spot and they're like, oh no, we don't have any communication with anyone to do this in the next like 3 minutes to be able to like trade back with anyone.
I think it's the other way around. I think they did have some potential guys, but the way the draft like was coming about. Like Minnesota,
he would be gone.
Like the one that we were all looking forward to trade up was Minnesota, and they just kind of waited it out and stuck to their guns and waited till JJ McCarthy came to them. Like I had them trading up with Arizona and going all the way up to the fourth to make sure they get a JJ McCarthy.
So this is my question. Why do you think they traded with the Jets one pick up to get J.J. McCarthy?
I think when stuff like that happens, I would shout out to the Jets. Or like,
the Jets, right?
Yeah, be like, hey.
We're going to take McCarthy.
We're not going to take McCarthy, but I'm hearing other teams, right? The other teams want to come up.
So they're leveraging that somebody else is coming for him.
Somebody else is coming. Denver's been calling me. You know, New Orleans have been calling me. Oh, and so
real quick sidebar.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this press conference with Sean Payton?
Oh God, whatever.
Where he's almost like right, like he seems to me like he might have CTE. Like,
yeah,
he's absolutely. Like almost like bragging and like complaining in these ways openly that are like not of a leader.
Yeah, yeah. He's
like a know-it-all.
Yeah, exactly. Like the part where he said, like, I had to pick in. I had to pick in for Patrick Mahomes, you know. And then they just, Kansas City came in and picked. Like, I already had, like, I'm sure you did, bro. Like, whatever. Like, yeah, so did we. All right, we all knew.
Yeah.
We all knew Patrick Mahomes was going to be this guy, all right? And so he said that part of that press conference. And then he says, you know, my job was just to call around and pretend like we were going to trade up. Like whatever. Like no,
I think it's not what he said, it's how he said it.
Yeah,
right?
Like
he's got that stupid grin on his face.
He thinks he's a genius. Like, he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, going back to the Titans. I also think like when I think about it, you're talking about like we would have wished that Adunze would have been available. I think definitely they came into this and like no matter what offensive tackle first round.
Yeah.
Like that is our number one threat.
That guy up.
Yeah. I think
the
they
fact
said
that Adunze was even available.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like it hurts us that Adunze was there and we didn't take him, but they came in knowing we have the worst offensive line in football.
Yeah.
We have to address this now with one of these top tier guys, and we can't wait to the second round to maybe get some. So,
I think it also speaks to the fact that they're like Will Levis is the guy,
yeah,
and we have to do everything that we can to protect him because if he goes down, we're a mess.
So, J.C. Latham, number one overall pick, wasn't that it was kind of iffy, but the second pick. At number 38 was where everybody kind of flew off the handles when it comes to Titans analysis, guys. They go with Tavondre Sweat, defensive tackle from the University of Texas. Now, I wanted a University of Texas guy with this pick. I don't know
just
if you heard
that guy.
Yeah, just I don't know if you heard our other episode when we went over the whole draft. I would have loved Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver, with our second pick. We'd been talking for weeks now of how we go offensive tackle, wide receiver in the first two rounds.
Yep.
So they go DeAndre Sweat. Now, DeAndre Sweat is a defensive tackle. He was a Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. He was a unanimous first-team All-American, okay? He was right next to Byron Murphy, who a lot of people had Byron Murphy as the number one defender coming into this draft. But the hit on DeAndre Sweat was he's in Austin and he loved to party, right? The hit on him was he partied a lot. And then so partying a lot, his weight fluctuated. It was really high. There's times where he was playing at 380 pounds. And then like the real need of DeAndre Sweat, he's your run stuffer. Right. And when we talk about moving in a direction, this team, we've talked about the hiring of Bill Callahan, and it's way different from Vrabel, where we're going to stop the pass and we're going to stop.
Yeah.
And we're going to pass. And so getting a DeAndre Sweat doesn't really stop the pass as opposed to it stops the run.
Yeah. So this is the thing, is it it sounds like they are concerned about building that secondary. Recognize that they at least have one shutdown side, right? In the pickup for the trade for Snead, which is probably the biggest move of this offseason, and including the draft. So it makes me think, like, all right, they realize like we may not be able to build this secondary as quickly as we hope. So let's put pressure on the quarterback. And it makes me think that Sweat is the guy that is just going to bull rush and get double teamed up the middle, and Jeffrey Simmons is going to go to work.
Yeah.
Or is that just me wishful thinking?
No.
Long stretch there.
When Rand says that, when Rand says like he got a text right away from Simmons and saying thank you very much, like, you're going to have to. DeAndre Sweat is there to take up the blockers.
Yeah.
And you're going to get caught one on one with a Simmons. And you're gonna lose, right? And so that is where he's gonna come.
You're gonna lose. Yeah, I love that.
If you go one on one with Simmons, now DeAndre, if DeAndre and Sweat can lose pounds, like he has pass rushing moves, right? He has the ability to rush the passer. I've seen his tape a bunch of times. He has a good chop rip. He has a good hunt move. Like, he's got those tools in his arsenal. And again, he's put in the same situation. This is where it's good for us, I think. He's put in the same situation that he was put in at Texas, right? Everybody, the hype coming into this draft, as far as defensive line goes, was Byron Murphy, who was lined up right next to DeAndre Sweat, right? And while while Byron Murphy had all the skills and all the stuff, DeAndre Sweat is the one that came home with the hardware, right?
Exactly.
He's the one that came home with Defensive Player of the Year. He's the one that was a unanimous All-American, right? Yeah. And so he's going to be a beast.
Outland Trophy winner, too.
Yeah.
Best defensive line.
Like, he's going to be a beast. We just have to keep him off of Broadway, okay? Oh. Make sure, and then he's like, the very next day, he was already working out. He put out a video. He's like, I hear all the naysayers already. I know everybody's worried about me partying so much, right? He's like, if I lose 20 pounds and stay at that weight, I'm a Hall of Famer. So I'm about to prove everybody wrong. So he has that chip on his shoulder. And I can see it. Like, he has that ceiling, right? To me, he has that ceiling. Rand Carthon compared him to Haloti Ngata type of player.
Okay.
And I agree. That is his ceiling. It's Haloti Ngata. Oh, absolutely. So I'm not too upset. I would have loved Mitchell. I would have loved Cooper DeJean instead to fill more of a need. But it was all right. It wasn't too bad for me.
So this makes me think now of the fourth round selection that they came up with, right? Now you put Sweat next to Jeffrey Simmons, and they could both possibly draw double teams, right? Or help, leaving gaps open. So is that pickup in the second round to pick up Sweat the reason that they go and pick up Cedric Gray, 6'2", 234, out of North Carolina, middle linebacker?
Yeah. So here, Cedric Gray to me, first off, us getting him in the fourth round was a steal. He should have been gone in the third round. He should have been gone. Yeah, he should have been gone in the third round. I liked Jeremiah Trotter Jr. better than Cedric Gray. The things that Cedric Gray, and like you said, it works good. The pick Cedric Gray works good because those two defensive tackles have to take up all the blocks. All right.
Yeah.
Cedric Gray is not good at shedding tackles. He's a little undersized. And so when the offensive lineman gets his hands on him, he got his hands on him. And he doesn't shed blocks very well. He is good at tackling in space, hiding behind the lineman, finding that alley, and then shooting that alley. He's also good sideline to sideline. He's got that type of speed. Now, what he's not good at is man-to-man defense. He's a much better of a zone type of linebacker, which we run a lot of man-to-man, and especially now that we have Snead, we're gonna run a lot more of that. Well, now I'm gonna say what we ran. I don't know what we have a new defensive coordinator now, so our defense is gonna be totally different.
Can he do these things? Can he, number one, run down a running back that's in the flat? Can he, or a running back that's trying to run a little route up the middle? Can he, if those gaps open up from these two defenses, that can he get to the quarterback fast enough to get some sacks or some hurries or some knockdowns? And bigger to me is in coverage, if he's not playing man and can live kind of in a zone, can he get picks? Yeah. Does he have good enough ball hand skills to be able to get some picks when the ball's floating across the middle of the field?
Yes, he can. What one thing that is on his side and is a plus side, turnover ratio on him, not only making picks but also causing fumbles. He was really great at that. Can he track an out from a running back? Yes, but if that running back makes a cut in, smoked.
He can't get him.
He doesn't get. If he's just running an out route, you know, a wheel route, like, he can stay with him. If he turns that into a Texas route, it's over.
Because he seems like a guy who's really great at, and you mentioned this to me in text during the draft, is like, he's great closing on a guy, right? Like getting there quick. But he seems then to be a guy that's almost like the secondary tackler, right? Like, he's a pursuit guy, and if somebody can slow down initially, he can close in.
Here's the thing, though. Now that you have to think about all this now when you're drafting, the new rules, the hip drop tackle, which you can't do, which means that you've gotten beat, right? You've gotten beat, and you're trying to chase.
Yes.
You need a tackler that can get in front and stay in front. And he doesn't do that very well, right? And so him playing catch up, it chased things down is great, but then no longer the hip drop tackle is no longer good. And here's the thing, though, is, and we'll go, I mean, we can go into it now. The seventh round pick, James Williams, safety out of Miami. I think when it's all said and done, he gets more playing time at linebacker than Cedric Gray does. James Williams was a 5-star athlete going to Miami. And he just a product of being put in a wrong system. He went to Miami. They didn't know what to do with him. They threw him out to safety. He was not fast enough. He's not fast enough for a safety, but he's a fast linebacker, right? He is.
Yeah.
He was too big for his safety, but perfect size as a linebacker. And so they did say that they're going to use him as linebacker. I think if he gets the right opportunity and they give him a chance, that he can beat out Cedric Gray for linebacker for the Titans. Well, here's what I'll say, though, altogether. Linebacker is still a need for the Titans. It is going to be. It is still at this point, and then we still have some things to do in the free agent market. But at this point, even with Kenneth Murray Jr., who I like, and I think he can have a rejuvenation here in Tennessee, it is still a downfall for us as the Tennessee Titans. Moving on now to round five, a Jarvis Brownlee Jr., cornerback out of Louisville. Here's what I say about this draft, too. Besides the next guy that we talked about, big schools, right? Big schools, right? You've got Alabama, Texas, North Carolina, Louisville, Miami, Michigan. And then you've got Tulane.
So that's a great point because you had to throw that in there. Yeah. I was going to say that somebody asked me, like, oh, you didn't get the guy you wanted, right? Somebody who does not know about football. And I was like, yeah, nah, they didn't get this one guy. And I was talking about Joel. And they were like, all right, well, then who did they get? And I was like, well, they got this other guy who's supposed to be good. And they were like, what school are they from? And I said, well, they're from Alabama. And in that, in my mind, I immediately was like, which is actually really good because that's a school that preps guys to be in the league. So it actually alleviated some of the stress I was feeling.
You talked it out loud. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, all right. Like it can't be that bad.
Right.
And there's still like, he's at least gotten high quality coaching and preparation for the league. And so I think as you bring that up, like all of these guys have been in those positions
right.
of in big schools. And that's a great point to bring up all these guys that like they've gotten high quality coaching.
Yeah. All right, so to me, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. is a good pick. I like this pick. He came on my radar. You know me, like I love this draft process. So I saw him at the Senior Bowl, and he was on one-on-ones, and I was like, oh, he was one. When I watched the Senior Bowl, that's exactly what I watched who comes out of me, and I'm like, oh, who's that dude? Oh, let me go watch his tape. And so he had a real good Senior Bowl. To me, automatically, as a fifth rounder, he becomes our fourth best cornerback, right? So he's already in there in the nickel packages, the dime packages for sure.
Yep.
Already like coming in, and that's crazy for not only one a rookie but a fifth rounder. So I like this pick a lot. Like he's going to be he can contribute on special teams, and then he's going to be a contributor right away to me as our fourth best cornerback in the league. I mean on the team. And then to me, the absolute worst pick for the Tennessee Titans. The absolutely like WTF, what are you doing? A Jaquan Jackson, wide receiver, Tulane. Okay. Jaquan Jackson, who is the nephew of Hall of Famer Baltimore Ravens Ed Reed. Okay. I did not know that until after. He is a receiver, a slot receiver, who did not start for the University of Tulane. Now think about that. Let me just say that right now. If I just say, hey, we drafted somebody who didn't start at Tulane.
Yeah.
Like, automatically. And to me, honestly, to me, it just came down to Tajay is good friends with him. Let's build up Tajay as much as we can. Let's put people around him that he's going to love. This is a Tajay Spears draft right here. It's a waste of a draft, but that's what this was to me.
So they waste this pick.
Right.
Is what you're saying. And now, who should they have drafted in that slot?
His name, it was a wide receiver out of Virginia who is probably should have been drafted in like the fourth round. I can't think of his name right now. He's killing me right now. But yeah, if you're going to go wide receiver
said he's out of what school?
It was Virginia. It was Malcolm. Sorry, guys. I'm not getting a lot of sleep right now.
Yes, you're right. I think
Malcolm Jenkins? No, that's somebody else.
I know who you're talking about. This guy,
Malcolm Jackson. Anyway, so with this pick, the guy from Tulane.
Malik Washington?
Malik Washington, there it is.
You're giving him the names of all these like former players.
Right, the Ed Reed threw me up.
I mean, looking at this, right, like I think he's also a 5'9 guy, right? So if you're going to go 5'9 guys.
Right.
Because that was our pick. But just so folks know, your own draft analysis, because this is the one place where I don't mess with you or crack jokes on you or criticize you is analyzing the draft. Because this guy, just so folks know, your own analysis, is broke the ACC single season record with 110 catches last year.
Right. Yeah, like he could be. So what they said about this draft pick was that there are three phases of the ball, of football, right? Offense, defense, and special teams. And yeah, he can be, he can and has the potential to being your kickoff returner. He has the potential of being your punt returner. Yes. But so did that other guy, right? He's in and out. He is quick. He's low to the ground. He can make, like, he, yes. But also, like, you only dress with a 53-man roster, but you really dress 48, right? Oh, so is it going to be wide receiver 4? Or are we gonna take 5 wide receivers to every game?
Yeah.
Right? Like, so you're putting him on there where you could just have somebody who's a legit wide receiver 4, and he can be a special teamer, right? To me, this came at it. Like, what are we doing? This was my definitely biggest WTF moment of the whole draft.
Yeah.
And moving on, we've already talked about James Williams, our 7th round pick out of Miami. I like this pick as long as we don't play him at safety, right? I know he's qualified as a safety. But we can't keep him there.
Now, do we think that he could be either a strong safety or some sort of, you think he's an inside linebacker?
Yeah, he's got to be a linebacker. He has to be a linebacker. If we're going to get him to his full potential, and like I said, he was if I'm not mistaken, it was a 5-star. Definitely at least a 4-star. He was highly recruited going to Miami. They misused him. They didn't know what to do with a lot, like just pure Miami fashion. And then and so they misused. I think he has the potential to be our starting linebacker. If not this year, then definitely next year.
Yeah.
And then so we had 2 picks in that round 7, with the 252nd overall. An edge out of Michigan, Jalen Harrell. To me, the best things for the Titans in this draft was 4 through 7, minus Jaquan Johnson. But even with the Cedric Gray, who should have been picked up in the 3rd round, getting Cedric Gray, getting Jarvis Brownlee, getting a James Williams, who again I think can compete for a linebacker spot, and Jalen Harrell from Michigan knows how to win, obviously. Was a big time contributor to University of Michigan, right?
Yes.
He doesn't have a big upper body. I mean, lower body. So he gets caught up in blocks right away. But that's if you can catch him, right? And so he doesn't have a lot of move sets like the other edges that we were talking about. He can go, right? And then he'll juke you for a cut inside every once in a while. I don't mind this pick as round 7, going with a dude that from a big time school, that's produced at a big time school, that won the champion, like, and he's a pure athlete, right? Yeah. To me, like round 6 and 7 are just pick the best athletes and let's see what they can do. And so they get that with the Jalen Harrell, who has a good chance of making the team. Not at least a practice squad. He definitely, to me, definitely a practice squad player, but he definitely has a good chance to making that 46 that we talked about earlier. And so
can this man make tackles? So that's my biggest thing, right? Because he's listed as an outside linebacker, and I think my concern, and I'm going to be honest on how I hated immediately, because mm-hmm. I didn't know as much about him, but I immediately was like, how are we going to draft a 5'9 linebacker?
Yeah. Yeah, he looks, and he's small. He plays bigger than he is. I mean, he's starting.
Exactly. No, I know that. And I've seen tape of him. That's not a, you know, but like, we also know that in looking at these guys, right, like the league punishes your body.
Right.
And so any guy that is already undersized is a concern for me.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of the team, but more so like, is this guy going to get hurt? And is he going to be able to like fight off blocks to make tackles? And is that really what the team need at that particular point?
Here's what you're going to get from him. All right. He's obviously not going to beat out Harold Landry. He's not going to beat out Arden Key. And he's not going to beat out Rashard Weaver. The next one on the depth chart is Caleb Murphy, and he has a chance to beat out Caleb Murphy because Caleb Murphy doesn't do special teams. They tried him at special teams. He missed a lot of tackles. Jalen Harrell can play special teams, and he will play special teams for us. So he will have a chance to make the roster. What he'll be good at is being disruptive, right? Not necessarily being there for the tackle, but he'll be there in the mix of things to where you're going to have to cut back.
Make the tackle easier.
Yeah, you're going to have to cut back, and you're going to run into Devondre Sweat, right, or something like that. So it's to me, for where we got him, it's one of our best picks. Just the fact that we were able to get him at 252, the fact that we were able to get James, both of those seventh-round picks, to me, were at least fifth or sixth rounders. Okay, so the fact that we got them at 7, to me, was probably overall, when you come to think, one of our better picks for this draft. With all that being said, I think I'm at like, and this may be just the Titan hopeful in me, is a B- overall.
Okay.
In the grade for the Titans. We got our offensive tackle, all right? Definitely not the one that we wanted, but we have one in place. The only thing is he is, if he's going to go play left tackle, and that's for picking a maybe left tackle at number 7 overall, that's concerning, right? If left tackle doesn't work, like, he'll be our best right tackle, right? So,
yeah.
And then we'll just try again next year for a left tackle. But push comes to shove, he's the starter on this lineman. And he by far and beyond, is the best tackle on this roster already. Like, we don't have anybody else, right or left, has a tackle that's better than J.C. Latham. Devondre Sweat.
And the biggest, I want to say real quick, the thing about Latham is, your assumption is that he's going to be the left tackle. They're going to switch him
over. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then going up to Devondre Sweat, again, is another project. He has a very high ceiling. He has a very low floor, though. Like, he can be a bust within 2 years because he just didn't take the seriousness. I believe that he will. I am, you know, that could be the Texas homer in me, too. But he did produce, right? He did produce to win all those, to win all those awards, to be a defensive player of the year as a defensive tackle, okay? Just put that into mind. As a defensive tackle who really played two downs, right? He didn't get in there too much in passing down. For him to win defensive player of the year is incredible. So to me, like, he has the want to do it. Can we get the other distractions? Hopefully Jeffrey Simmons pulls him in real quick, because Jeffrey Simmons was a dude who we got a lot of grief also for off-the-field stuff that when we picked, and he turned it around, nobody thinks about that stuff anymore. So hopefully he can do the same and just kind of take Devondre Sweat under his wing. Cedric Gray was a pick. Maybe can be a starter. Again, I would have loved Jeremiah Trotter. Brownlee, to me, top four corner in on the team already, so that's a good pick. My worst absolute pick is Jaquan Jackson, who may not make the team, right? Honestly, like, I don't know if he better be dynamic in the preseason during special teams for him to make the team. And then again, James Williams, who I think can compete for a starting role as a linebacker, and Jalen Harrell, who will be a decent enough player for us on the edge. I give ours a B minus. Probably should have been a C plus, but I've got a little bit more hope than those who are not analyzing and not fans of the Titans. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think all of those places in those picks, I think I have greater hope for the Sweat pick than the analytics because of what you mentioned. Like, if the guy already produced and was the best defensive lineman in college and you're saying he had problems, money is a great motivator for improving your game. Going to have professionals around you saying, like, that's not good enough. Get on, like, get moving. Right. And you're also going to have teammates like Jeffrey Simmons, which you just mentioned, holding you accountable. So I do expect for that pick to move. I think my biggest thing is I'm really concerned about Latham switching to left tackle. Mm-hmm. Part of that alleviates that for me is the fact that he's going to have Callahan coaching him.
Yeah.
Who in our original thing in talking about, like, whether they had a plan C or not, I could see the Rand Carthon pick being like, we're going to go this route. It didn't work out. Going the coach's route. And head coach being like, all right, well, this is, you know, he's an offensive guy, so let's get this receiver. That not going well, neighbors not being there. And then being like, all right, well, if we want an offensive tackle anyway, and Coach Callahan thinks this guy in such high regard, let's just go get him now and solve this problem.
Yeah.
With a guy that our line coach is going to be happy with, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
I think in that, for me, those two picks are the biggest thing. The Cedric Gray, I hope that he's able to, you know, be the guy that closes in on tackles. But out of the rest, my thing is I'm just looking at the first three rounds. And my biggest takeaway is we did not solidify a wide receiver to take the place of DeAndre Hopkins when he's gone most likely at the end of this year.
And yeah.
So who is that going to be? How are we going to take care of that? And who are we going to pay? Because we're going to now have to pay someone to come this way.
Yeah, we're going to need a free agent.
Will Levis. Yep.
Yeah, I think also depending on this draft, we obviously, like, I still think we have a big hole at tackle, either side. Like, if Latham becomes the right tackle, we have a problem with left tackle. Petit Ferrer is, I don't think it's going to be the answer at right tackle. So I don't know. Maybe Watch Bill Callahan tape. Can, yeah. Maybe Bill Callahan can change it, but I don't see it. So we still have a hole on our offensive line. Linebackers is still, you know, our middle linebacker, inside linebackers are still a problem, and safety is still a problem. Now they've already talked about, and they're still available. Like Justin Simmons is still out there available, and Rand Carthon talked about like we're gonna go back out there. Let this draft settle a little bit, and then we're going to go out there and find our starting safety. In free agency, Justin Simmons is just waiting. Like, if we get Justin Simmons as, like...
Agreed.
Everything is fixed. Yeah. To me, everything is fixed on the defense. Those two, Snead, Simmons, the other Simmons on the line...
And now Brownlee Jr., like you brought up, right. Like he now can actually get prepped to take over that role.
Exactly. And they can hide the middle linebacker position until we figure that out. So go get a Justin Simmons and all is well. Anyways, that is our post analysis. We look forward to having more Tennessee Titan talk as we get into the offseason, as we get into mini camps that are starting here next week. We are the Puro Pincho Primos, and we are out.